The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin, who now smells like a perfume shop.
Oh, can you smell it over there?
I can. It wafted.
So pure.
Jules and Alison have been swapping. Fluids. Swapping fluids during the break.
Oils, yeah, because I burn them at home and stuff a lot. They are good ones. Obviously not like yours, but they're good ones. I'm not so good at knowing what they all do. It smells divine. It smells very, very pure.
It does smell nice. Yeah.
Frankincense is like the three wise men, isn't it?
That's right. Frankincense and myrrh, and then gold. So you just need essential oils and money. That's it.
Mm. Yeah,
and you're sorted.
Yeah, exactly. Cash. Keep cash under your mattress now as well.
Right.
Digital currency and all that.
Nobody takes cash, though.
I know. Well,
I do.
We all need to
do
start.
You? Yeah. So many places don't, though. You try and pay with cash and they'll refuse.
We all
especially
need
the
to
big
start.
Chains. What was it? Costa won't take cash, yeah.
Don't go to Costa.
Mm.
Go to an independent.
Yeah, yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I
say. We take cash in Fruitworks in our coffee shop.
You've got a lovely coffee shop, Fruitworks in Slough. Mm. If you can afford the parking, it's worth going to, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, yeah. Or you could walk. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one can afford the parking in Canterbury. £18 a day.
In when we had the height of the pandemic, which I hate talking about, I used to bring a burner in and put it on the chair in the corner and waft it all out. Paul used to get a bit funny about it. He called me a witch. But it's just so nice to have that scent going through, isn't
well,
it?
Well, and if you've got therapeutic ones, they actually eliminate airborne pathogens and are really, really powerful in terms of cleansing the air in that way, yeah.
Of course. There's a historic sea shelter I wanted to tell you about.
There's what?
A historic sea shelter I wanted to tell you about.
Go on then.
Shall I tell you?
Yeah, go on.
You listening? Okay, it's been demolished and it's going to make way for a controversial development featuring a seafood restaurant and a yoga studio. How do those two go together?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Downward dog.
Fish and chips.
Downward dog and a bit of cod.
Because if you eat, you can't do a downward dog straight after. The Victorian...
You need to do it before, don't you? Downward dog, then the cod.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. The Victorian Waterloo Shelter sits alongside the Broadstairs Funicular.
Ah, funicular, yeah.
What's a funicular?
It's one of those, like they have Hastings and Folkestone, it's one of those rail carriages that go up a mountain, you know, up a cliff face.
I never knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Very Victorian.
Yeah, rickety. So they've got a funicular on Viking Bay, a cliffside railway lift.
Thank you.
You were right, that took people down to the beach. But it closed in 1991 and has subsequently become completely derelict and fallen victim to vandalism. Now, the Victorian shelter, where did I get electronic from? has been knocked down to make way for the new project. My temple pain is gone. Now, that's what? How long? That's bizarre.
Stop doing adverts.
I'm still a bit numb here, but I must admit I didn't rub much on because I got my blusher on. We're going to have a picture taken. And I've got, you know, a little bit of BB cream on.
Is it making her go numb? Can I buy a job lot off you?
Tropic I use. Do you know Tropic?
Just finish reading them.
I've just gone off on a shred. Do you know Tropic? Australian.
It's skincare. I don't know much about it.
What's her name? Susie May. Beautiful stuff. I will show you some. All natural. Now the Victorian shelter has been knocked down to make way for a new project, Paul Andrews.
Right.
Pillars from the old shelter are due to be incorporated into the new design, which will retain the open look. I don't know how what's this got to do with seafood and yoga. Gone off on a cliffhanger.
Well, just finish reading it, for goodness sake.
Gone off on a cliffhanger, hasn't it? Which will retain the open look of the shelter, clearly hinting at its past. How do they hint? While bringing it confidently into the present, the new restaurant will stand alone from the neighbouring structures by introducing modern design elements while ensuring even that the proposal does not contradict any of the structures within the conservation area. I think I've gone off off the boil over Easter.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you interrupted yourself three times while you were reading it, didn't you?
You have 4 days
off. Alison, she's so excited that you're here.
She
can tell everybody about her ailments, which is one of her favourite pastimes, and all the things that she takes and all the drugs and everything. Yeah.
All natural, though. But you used to get really bad headaches.
Yeah.
You could just take a little dab of frankincense.
But I don't get them anymore.
Well, how did you cure them?
I don't remember.
I know. It was probably it's the opposite of me. You had an AstraZeneca and you didn't get any side effects.
No.
Whereas, so probably it's cured your headaches.
It cured my headaches,
whereas
yeah.
It was mine. I could sniff that all day.
Yeah, well, you carry on sniffing yourself.
I just can't wait till 3 p.m. so I can scoff some of these.
I know what you're doing.
Torture. Yeah.
But while you're messing about sniffing yourself and trying to scoff Alison's lovely food, I'm going to talk to Jane, if that's all right.
I think you should, because I was talking to her in the tea room, in the green room. She's had one of my dandelion teas, you know. She's interested in it.
Delicious.
And she's telling me it's her. She hasn't just got a pub. I mean, it does everything.
Yeah, well, it's not a pub, is it?
Yeah. No, well,
it's much more than that. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, not just kombucha.
Well, we'll talk to Jane and we could actually find out rather than you doing her bit for her.
I've got to wait a minute because I've got a tweet. I've got a video her, you see.
So okay.
But just talk about...
Oh, thank you.
While I said that.
That's very kind of you. I can start. Jane, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have Jane Brooke from Rye. I mean, she's a serial entrepreneur and she's one of my favourite entrepreneurs. She's such a dynamic person. I first met you, I can't remember what it was, it must have been about 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I came to see you, didn't I? I was thinking about opening a co-working space and I came to see you in Canterbury.
Yeah.
And then you kind of mentored me, really.
Oh, yeah.
And
He does that.
It's really good. Yeah. And then you came to my opening. You did.
I did, yeah. But one of the things that staggered me and one of the things I really liked about you, you didn't just stop there. Once you got the bit between your teeth, you went bananas, didn't you? And with loads of things. So Jane runs Space Co-working in Rye. I mean, first and foremost, she runs a technology company, OnTap Group. But she opens Space Co-working in Rye and in the Brewery Yard Club. And you're also the chair of the Rye Chamber of Commerce.
That's right.
Yeah. And I don't know what you do in your spare time.
No, that's it. They say, don't they, ask a busy person. We'll get round to that, how that happened. But co-working spaces... Sorry, yeah, go on.
Although it was a few years ago, talk us through what made you think about that in the first place and then how that evolved for you and how you've gone from there.
So the business that we're involved in that actually pays the majority of the bills is an e-commerce technology company, a software company. And our business model changed a bit. We owned the building that we're in, which is the old cinema in Fish Market Road in Rye. Mm-hmm. And we had quite a big team there. Mm. And our business model changed in that we weren't doing so much merchant work, so we weren't working with obviously we do have clients, but we didn't need account managers anymore. So we had a lot of desk space coming up.
Right.
And around that time, we were also doing quite a bit of travelling. And when we could travel around the world and we needed somewhere to work, before we work, actually. Mm. We were working for co-working spaces.
I want to know who we is, because there's a silent person there. You said we.
Oh, me and my husband.
Okay. And his name?
Dan Garner.
I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Okay.
Hello,
right.
Dan.
Dan, we're going to have Dan on the show in a couple of weeks' time. Don't you worry. Yeah. Anyway.
And so I had a building, basically.
Right.
I had some desk space, and I just thought, everywhere that I've been that's been a co-working space, I've met some really interesting people, and it creates opportunities. And so I thought, well, let's give it a go. And so then I started doing some research. Then I started travelling to see some other co-working spaces, some really, really posh ones, some not so posh ones. And I thought, well, I don't know, can it work? And I got some great advice from you. And just it's a very sharing community, co-working. It's unlike any other I'd have been in. Obviously, when we do our software development, it's on an open source platform called Magento. And that back in the day was free. It's since been bought by Adobe. It's now called Adobe Commerce, the enterprise version of it, the one you pay for. But the community side of things has always been there.
Yeah.
So and the co-working communities are very sharing and very open, and there's one of the things that I really enjoyed about it.
Mm. And, of course, you're based in the wonderful town of Rye. I was going to say seaside town, but, of course, the sea departed Rye quite a long time ago.
Before I got there.
Yeah. Apparently it's coming back, though. Rye is a sink port, like Tenterton, where I live. Neither of them are on the sea, and neither of them are anywhere near water, but anyway. But it's a lovely place, and it's also got a bit of a reputation of being a kind of arty, creative place as well.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and therefore having a community resource like Space Co-working kind of makes absolute sense. And when I first started talking to you, there had been one chap, I can't even remember his name, that had attempted to open a co-working space, but it was far too small. He only had like one desk, and it didn't really work. And as far as I know, he ended up owning a pub. Anyway,
that's absolutely right.
Yeah,
he's one of our newest chamber members at the Rye Chamber of Commerce, and that's Dave Roder.
That's him. Yep.
From Rye Waterworks.
Yeah.
And he's just opened a microbrewery.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's an incredible place.
Yeah.
If anyone ever wants to go.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So you kind of turned your offices into co-working space called Space in Rye. But then you didn't stop there, did you?
Well, we needed an event space pretty quick, because the people that were coming to our co-working space wanted to run workshops, and they wanted to have big meetings. And the largest meeting room I had would fit four people in. And then, as fate might have it, Nick Foreman, who earlier, he was an estate agent in Rye, but now he's the editor of Rye News. And I knew him because he sold me a house years ago.
Yeah.
All about networking, you see.
Absolutely. Well, funny enough, I'm having lunch with Nick in a couple of weeks' time, because he rang me during the week, and I've just put my house on the market, and he went, "You bought your house off me." Right, yeah. We're going to have lunch. Okay, fine. Yeah.
Well, you do business with people that you like, right?
Exactly.
So
yeah,
that's how it all came about, anyway. So he mentioned to me that the Brewery Yard Club, I know, had been on the market, had been an old British Legion.
Yeah.
And it had it was actually not very in a nice state, but on the ground floor had quite a large room which lent itself to my purposes.
Mm.
So I converted that first. It was a snooker room.
Yeah.
And I converted it into a conference room. And I wasn't going to do any more.
Right. I actually, you kind of rang me up and said you were going to do this, and I came over and walked round you. It was, at the time, it was still the old workmen's club, or what it was, and it was one of those with squelchy carpets, you know, that your feet stuck to and everything, wasn't it? And we're walking around looking at this going, that's got to go. Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit different now.
Mm.
So, yes. And then, so it didn't have a licence, bar license or anything, and the last thing I ever thought I'd do would be run in a bar.
Right.
But as things happened, and then lockdown happened, then obviously didn't need a conference room because couldn't do any meetings.
Couldn't do it, yeah.
I was quite busy on the co-working side of things, as I said to you. We didn't have to stop doing our co-working because I was an essential service to people that needed somewhere to work during lockdown. They might have had all their kids at home, their partners at home, and the Wi-Fi wouldn't work and that sort of thing, so they were coming in and doing quite a bit of work. But aside from the co-working, I was getting quite busy over at the Brewery Yard Club, because I decided, well, I will open upstairs. There's another three floors. And
can I just ask, did you actually buy the building, or do you rent it?
No, I lease the building.
Yeah.
And in fact, my lease is up in January.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've only got, this is my last year.
Do you get the chance to renew now?
It's going on the market.
Okay. And you would buy it, or?
I can't. I'd love to.
Yeah. Mm.
But no. I think at the end of the
day. Have you thought of crowdfunding for it?
We do talk about that, actually.
Yeah, because my local restaurant, Jojo's, had the same thing. They've got a very, very popular restaurant in Whitstable, and they crowdfunded because they were about to lose the lease, and they bought the building, including a flat above.
Oh, right. Yeah. Things are being talked about. There are certain people that are at the moment we're doing a little bit of investigation on that side of things.
Sure.
But then I had to get my license. Obviously, that was a bit of a problem because people in Rye they didn't want another pub, but it wasn't going to be a pub. And what I tried to explain, it's going to be a venue space. Yeah. And it kind of went from there, really. So
It's odd that, isn't it? I have a drinks license at Fruitworks because we have a coffee shop, but because we do events in the evening, you want to sell wine and beer, yeah? Even though I'm teetotal. When you apply for these things, you know, people go, well, there's 400 pubs. And go, but it's not a pub, it's a venue. Yeah. You don't hold, 50-person meetings in a pub.
Yeah. To be honest, we've had quite a few business meetings and networking events, which I'll come on to later. But the majority of the success of the Brewery Yard Club's been through coming through lockdown and people not being able to go out, and then having a venue where people could come and dance and sing, and you know, like obviously it's lots of music.
And bingo.
The drag bingo is incredible.
Right.
That's the big bingo show with Timberlina and Auntie Maureen, and it's sell out like months in advance. It's brilliant. It's just like there's nothing else like it around.
Yeah.
And so, we go great guns on that. And Timberlina's actually hosting my Eurovision party, which is on the 13th of May too. So that would be a great one to go to.
Right, okay. So you're staging all these events there and doing loads of stuff. And then, of course, so you've got three businesses you're running. And then, of course, because that doesn't keep you occupied, you're chair of the Rye Chamber of Commerce as well.
Yeah, so during lockdown, what happened? Well, when I first moved to Rye, I tried to join the Rye Chamber of Commerce, but it had been defunct.
Right.
So there was a website there, but my email never got answered and things like that. So I'd had various conversations with the people that were running the chamber, and like, could we do something? Can I take on the domain name, and I'll just put a page up for you at least, and then you'll be catching the people that come in? Because I'd just opened the co-working space, and basically there's going to be people moving to town like I was that they want to do networking.
Absolutely.
So that kind of all went very quiet until the beginning of lockdown, when I saw a post by the Battle Chamber of Commerce, and someone had just gone around with a camera just filming the shops. Like, we're open for business, like you can come and do click and collect, right. Even though you can't come in, or we can't serve you in this way. And then I said to the chamber, can we do that? And he said, well, there's no funds because we haven't got hardly any members now, and but let's try and apply for a grant to do it. And we did, and we got a grant to make a film, like a proper film though. And I got involved with a videographer, and we went around and we did a small film. And then we had this film, then I had nowhere to put it, so then I had to build the website. I did it quickly on Wix. I mean, I didn't get any of our developers involved, but I did a Wix website. My daughter, I brought her on as she was going to go to sixth form, but instead she came on as an apprentice and did a digital marketing apprenticeship with us.
Brilliant. Oh, fabulous.
And built the website. And we created a new logo. And then it just kind of, we started picking up new members, obviously, because they thought, oh, things are happening.
Yeah.
And then I was asked to be chair last year. So I've been chair since October.
I think it's really important. I live in Tenterton, and I'm a member of quite a few chambers of commerce because I have businesses all around the place. But I live in Tenterton, and I'm a member of Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. Small town, small place chambers of commerce are really, really important for the community. And there's so many places where those chambers got defunct or got taken over. You know, there was a big thing a few years ago where, you know, you had large chambers of commerce that went around taking over little ones and all the rest of it. But I'm a massive believer in face-to-face networking. You know, Zoom and Teams and all that is brilliant. It's okay. But if you really want to build business relationships in a local community, you have to meet each other. Okay, we couldn't do that during lockdown, not without getting arrested. But you can now. And there's so many places. I was talking to Jane before we came on air about one of my new co-working spaces that's opening in Sheerness on the Isle of Sheppey. There's no Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce closed down years ago.
Yeah.
And you just think, and that is such a shame. So I'm starting one. I'm starting a Sheppey Business Network. you know, because it's important. And these things work if you put a little bit of effort into it.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing that I'm spending quite a lot of time on at the moment, and my husband's not that happy about, because he doesn't pay me anything because it's a voluntary role. But I'm finding it really rewarding.
Mm.
It's like work at the club. When someone comes and has a really good time and they say, well, I haven't danced for 2 years, you know, because I've been scared of COVID or whatever, and I've come and I've had the best time. And I think that's that. You know, you can do incredible work in your day job or whatever, but when you get someone coming up to you and saying that they've, you know, it's
you've
so
changed
rewarding.
Their life, basically.
Yeah. So rewarding.
Yeah.
Given them 100%. And the chamber stuff is voluntary, and getting involved and helping other people is, I think, where I've found a bit of my vocation, actually, because I enjoy it probably more than anything.
It is very rewarding. It's hard work. And it adds a lot to the community. For a lot of us, though, it doesn't pay the bills, and that's, you know, where it can come unstuck if you're not careful, because you end up doing more
voluntary
stuff and spending less and less time on actually earning any money. And
exactly.
Why I've got a fantastic chair in Sarah. My vice chair is Sarah Broadbent, who has a PR background. So and I'm not very. I'm not very good at writing. I'm not very productive at writing a long email. It takes me about an hour to do an email. But Sarah, with her PR background, she's incredible. So what she'll do is, like, we'll talk about something. She'll say, I'll do a press release. And I'll say, OK. And then, like, an hour later, there's a press release. And I'm like, oh, that's incredible. And so now, actually, we're really going great guns at the Chamber. We're really helping a lot of businesses. We're getting lots of new members coming on.
I don't know Rye as well as I know Rye quite well, because I don't live that far away. But I know Tenterden better, and Tenterden's a small town. I don't know, it must be similar kind of size to Rye, although Tenterden's probably a little bit smaller than Rye, isn't it? But whatever. One of the things that surprised me about the Tenterden Chamber of Commerce is just how many businesses there are. You know, you walk down the high street and you can point at businesses, but there's hundreds and hundreds of businesses buried in working from home and working in sheds, working in you know, all kinds of obscure places buried out around the countryside, because it's a very rural area. And I imagine Rye and the surrounding area of Rye, it's very similar. There's a lot of people there, because again, Rye was a commuter town to some extent, and a lot of people stopped commuting and, you know, worked from home, and a lot of creative businesses kind of buried away there. So have you found that as your membership's grown, that you've kind of suddenly come across people that you didn't even know existed in the area?
Oh, 100%. And I think that, I mean, one of the things that is a really good perk of being a chamber member is you get free cardboard recycling. Now, it doesn't sound very sexy, but it's actually really valuable, because it's costs a lot of money for the shop. So the chamber historically was made up mostly of shopkeepers in Rye, because that was the main thing. It was for shopkeepers. But we got lots of hospitality businesses, obviously, producing a lot of cardboard. One of the biggest producers of cardboard, and we see them down at the cardboard container every Thursday when people come down to put their cardboard in, is Knoops, the hot chocolate shop, because they have to unpack all of their stuff. So that it's a good resource, but what we're finding now is that we're getting more independent people, so people like independent private chefs, people that are running businesses from home, but actually now need to get out and talk about what they're doing and meet people, and through the networking, which is not morning networking, because I think that's quite off-putting. I'm not a fan of it, but we're only doing like quarterly networking. We're growing it. We're seeing where it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I covered a story a few months ago about Ryan Cardboard. Some shop got fined for putting their cardboard out on the pavement, and apparently they were stacking it out there ready for it to go away, and some Jobsworth walked along, saw it, and wrote them a ticket for dumping cardboard outside.
So we have a bit of a problem at the moment with, there's a contractor called NES Contractors. I think Canterbury use exactly the same contractors. So they're rewarded by, it's commission based. So it's, they're out to get everybody. They hide behind, apparently, hide behind bushes and get people when they drop a cigarette end and things like that. That's what I've been told. But the the business that you're talking about there was Simply Ryan. It's exactly what happened.
Right.
But the fact of the matter was that a lot of businesses have been fined without real justification.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've managed to get those overturned. But they're still around. And if you don't have a waste carrier license to take your, like, what do you do with your rubbish if you're a very small lock-up shop?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people have been taking it home. Actually, you're not supposed to do that because any rubbish that's created through any commercial venture is supposed to be done.
And if you're having lots of deliveries, all those cardboard boxes and all the plastic stuff they put around it and the bubble wrap and everything, it's really, amounts
if
up.
You move in house, my best advice to you is buy a stapler off of Amazon. And then you get so many cardboard boxes that it comes in that you've got enough to pack your house up and move.
Oh, that's a very good thing.
I just thought I'd let you know that.
I did, just jumping in about that, I did contact Canterbury Council about 4 years ago. When we were in the pandemic and everybody was buying online and whatever, so 2 years ago, to say, where can we take our cardboard boxes and all the bubble wrap and all that? And there was nothing.
Yeah.
There's no place. Mm. But I was saving some of the really expensive bubbly wrap stuff, the air stuff. For olives are good for you, so food producers who were posting olives about, and they were just reusing it, so they'd come and collect. But there's nowhere. Carry on.
But Jane, you're absolutely right in what you're saying. One of the benefits of an organisation like the Chamber of Commerce is to help small businesses with things like that. You know, as a small business owner, as a small shopkeeper, you don't know what to do, do you? You go, hold on a minute, is it just me, or is it everybody? With a Chamber of Commerce there behind you, you can at least share experiences, even if it only comes down to, I'll tell you what, we'll collect everyone's cardboard and take it out the cardboard dip or whatever you do. Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people feel a little bit dirty if they've just been given a fine. They don't really want to tell anybody. But then when you're sort of talking about, oh, that happened to me. Oh, actually, and that happened to me. And then we can actually do something about it. Then we can go and lobby the council.
Yeah, I mean...
good luck with that.
Yeah.
Quite successfully.
I mean, if you're tenacious enough, you can. I mean, a bit of a side issue, but some time ago I parked in a car park in Maidstone, and you know, it's, they've got all these Ringo things, you can't use cash to buy it. I drove into the car park, and it was the Union Street car park, and I parked my car, and I opened the Ringo app, and it said Union Street car park, how long do you want to park? So 3 hours. Don't paid my extortionate price and went to my meeting. When I came back, I had a ticket on the windscreen. Really? So I wrote to the council and I said, but I had a ticket. And they went, oh no, that's the car park next door. I beg your pardon. They said, yeah, there's two Union Street car parks. I went, but it's the one that came up on my phone. Yeah, it would do, because they're both next to each other. Why have you got two different names with two different machines next to each other? Oh, it's historical. I went, no, it's hysterical. Not historical, it's hysterical, and I'm not paying the fine. You can take me to court, because that's just stupid. And they went, okay, we'll waive the fine this time, but don't do it again. I said, don't worry, I'm not coming to Maidstone ever again. My office is in Maidstone, so I have to. But, you know, it's just bonkers, isn't it? I mean, they just do bonkers things, and it's all computer saying no. But again, that's why you have a Chamber of Commerce, to represent people's interests. It's like a trade union for businesses, isn't it, to some extent? That's great.
Yeah, you know, we do as much as we can, but we are all voluntary. We're not like a bigger chamber that we have paid roles, but there's an organisation called the Alliances, it's ACES, the Alliances of Chambers in East Sussex. Mm. And our members of all the smaller chambers kind of get together and... Mm. We can work out some things between us, and if you know, we invite different events, obviously we can cross pollinate there.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, there are limitations as to how much we can do, and what we need is we need more doers to come and help us. So we need more directors for the chamber. We need more champions. We've got a hospitality champion, Martin Blinko, who is the proprietor for the Mermaid in Rye.
Oh yeah.
He's our hospitality champion. He's doing great stuff, because we did a hospitality roundtable, because we've got a crisis in hospitality.
Yeah.
We can't get the staff because of lockdown. It's big issue. Mm. He's going great grounds, working with local apprenticeship providers and training providers, and trying to get young people back into to work, so we're doing all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We have our cardboard coordinators, who were Sarah and David Nixon at the Chamber, and they do great work just keeping everyone sort of like going. Sarah's also helping me coordinate Rye in Bloom, which we've got some funds available for people to get hanging baskets put outside their shops and their businesses to make Rye look pretty,
yeah,
and things like that. You can't do this stuff on your own. It's like,
no, absolutely. Do you get involved with the big things like the Rye Arts Festival and the Rye Jazz Festival?
The festivals are something that's quite close to my heart, because the problem with Rye is that the Chamber used to be involved in the festivals, especially the Christmas festival.
Mm.
These committees have all fallen away.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a thankless task.
Yeah.
And you just get hassled. Now that social media is everywhere, people come on to moan about how terrible things were, but they don't realise how much effort goes into actually doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a few really, really tenacious people around that are trying to get it off the ground again. The Rye Christmas Festival. So Sophie Judge is brilliant. She's a local mum, and she's just taken it. She's just taken it and run with it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she'll put her hands up. She'll say, "Well, I've never run a business or anything." But it just takes someone that's really passionate about something.
Yeah, absolutely.
To do it.
Yeah. Another funny story. I run a program called 30-30, which is a free program for schools where I take 30 businesses into a school to talk to 30 students about the world of work. Very popular. We've had 3,000 students through the program now, and I've got a couple of programs coming up, and I posted it on social media saying I'm looking for business people to come along to this show, to this event. And some guy contacted me, and he went, yeah, he said the schools haven't got a clue what they're doing, and the young people of today are rubbish and all the rest of it. They need to be told how to do this, that and the other. And I went, great, are you coming? No. So we why even bother to spout a load of old nonsense that you don't know what you're talking about, and you're not even going to do anything about it? Yeah. The whole point of these events is for businesses to find out what schools do, and for schools to find out what businesses do. Yeah. You sitting in your armchair moaning doesn't achieve anything. Mm. Yeah. Either come or shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So things are progressing on all fronts. I'm a bit worried about the Brewery Yard Club and your lease. We need to talk about that and what we're going to do to get that sorted out, because it's a fantastic resource mm-hmm. that you have there, and it's a really popular resource. Just coming back to the co-working space, how's that doing? Are you full or...?
We are full.
Yeah, yeah.
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 I'm looking for more space.
Are you? Mm. Yeah, okay.
100%.
It's not easy, is it? Because you need space that's got some character as well, I think.
And I think also that... when I go out to find another space, it needs to be much more of a serious commercial proposition. Okay. Because
yeah.
I own the building, and if it's empty for a bit, that's okay, because I'm still working out of it, you know. Like,
yeah, sure.
And,
yeah.
But it needs to earn its way.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Well, we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Are you, if you don't mind me asking, you can tell me mind my own business.
Mind your own business.
Okay. are you looking for more space in Rye, or are you thinking of kind of moving somewhere else as well?
No, in Rye, because in the summer, well, I've got the Brewery Yard Club as a sort of like a overflow space at the moment. But I'm full. I've rented the whole of the well, it's not rent. It's obviously membership for a dedicated space.
Yeah, you're
on
not
the
allowed to say rent. Yeah.
on the ground floor of the old cinema to employment agency, actually.
Oh, right. Excellent. Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Cool.
E-commerce.
Right.
WeCom. Give them a shout out.
WeCom.
Yeah. So they specialise in e-commerce, which is weirdly
what we do anyway.
Yeah. So that was kind of fortuitous. But we've got only one office left upstairs that needs a tenant. And so now the hot desking needs to happen over the Brewery Yard Club, because I don't have that open hot desking space. But during the summer, you've got lots of people coming down to Rye to spend a day on the beach, and they might knock off a day early and then come and do some Zoom calls and stuff from my venue. and pretend they're still at home. I hear them on the phone sometimes.
Yeah, I'm
in the spare room today. Actually, they're in one of our meeting rooms. But it just really works, being in a tourist location, having a co-working space, basically.
Yeah.
Well, that means that if they're coming from London, for example, they beat the traffic. You know, like Easter, the traffic coming into Whitstable was bonkers on Friday.
Yeah.
So if they come a day early or 2 days early, then they can work from there. And
the model I really like is when there's a hen party coming down to spend, they rented a really nice beach house in Canberra, but they come down on Thursday, but they all still need to work. So I can rent them. They can all do hot desking together, and then come to our cocktail happy hour at 5 o'clock at the Brewery Yard Club.
How lovely.
And then carry on there. Their hen party, which works really well.
We were talking about Canberra.
We were. I was just going to say, if you go to Canberra, don't park in a council car park. It's £30. They've just put it up to £30 to park in a car park. Actually, it's unbelievable. It's only £5 dearer than getting fined for illegally parking.
I went to see our graphic designer, Ken Lloyd, who's been on the show. And he is now retired. He does a bit of work now, but he's in his late 70s or mid 70s. And they've got a Labrador, and they said that all the woods around Whitstable now charge for parking.
Yeah.
And he says he can't afford it, you know. It's awful. Yeah. So now the wife has to walk the dog. He drops her off, but he can't walk with her.
Oh, yes, he has to go and pick her up.
He has to circle round. It's crazy. So, you know.
I've had a tweet from Gaynor.
Oh, yes.
At Spotlight YOPD. I think that's a young onset of Parkinson's disease. Yeah. And she says, I love Jane Brooke. She's a great supporter of my charity, Spotlight YOPD.
That's nice.
Ah, okay.
Isn't that nice?
So that's young onset Parkinson's
disease. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
They're members of the co-working space.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Fantastic. So, Jane, we wish you continued success with all your ventures.
Thank you very much.
As I say, you're one of my favourite entrepreneurs because you do things, you know, you don't just talk about them. Well, you talk about them because we all talk about them, but then you do it. And that's really what makes the difference.
I'm not successful at all of them, but I just try.
Yeah. You know, but it all depends what you mean by success as well, doesn't it? Because I totally get what you're saying. But so many of the things you do are just so... are so community orientated and they're not necessarily commercial successes, but they are successful in themselves because they're satisfying a need. We do live in a world now where everybody expects everything for nothing, which is one of the kind of problems that we face a lot these days.
What I would say, though, it does open doors. If you start doing some voluntary work and you never know who it is you're talking to, and it opens up a conversation, you start a conversation from a completely different place, and it can turn into something that actually will be a really good contact for you.
Yeah.
So I'd encourage anyone just to get involved with the local chamber, whether they want to come on and do some work or you know.
Yeah. I think things like the Chamber of Commerce and those kind of networking things and community things will always result in something somewhere down the line. Even if it's not necessarily with someone you've met there, it's someone they might have talked to. The problem with it is as seeing it as part of your marketing budget, you can't gauge what the return on investment is going to be, you know, because it's just a hit and hope. But, you know, 99.9% of the time, something will come back from it somewhere down the line, because it just does. That's how it works. Cool. Jane, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you and to catch up with all the things that you're doing. We wish you continued success with all your ventures. For the moment, Jane Brooke, thank you so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Cool. We haven't got a lot of time left until the end of the show. We've still got quite a lot to cover. I've got about 200 tweets that I haven't read yet as well, but I'm kind of working my way through them.
I've just sent Wayne Allison's details. So he's very impressed with the, what was it, frankincense.
Right.
That was great. Thank you. So he's very excited.
The next meeting of the Marsh Network is online and it will be at 10:30 a.m. on the 12th of April. Join people and organisations from across Kent, East Sussex and beyond for our relaxed style of professional networking. The speaker is Steve Gosling, who is most definitely the world's best travel counsellor, apparently. Come along and enjoy our relaxed style of professional networking to grow your network. It's www.marshnetwork.co.uk to book your place on it. And as I say, it's 12th of April, which is tomorrow, manana. Yeah,
manana. And a historic war fort situated in a seafront car park has gone on sale for £250,000. And it's the Martello Tower, number 25 in Dymchurch on the Romney Marsh. £250,000. That's not bad, but I guess it needs a lot of work.
I tried to buy that 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. At the time, the radio station was just around the corner. Excuse me,
we
in Dymchurch.
On the field, weren't we?
No, we were on Hagland's Farm.
Farm,
at Burmarsh.
Yeah.
And we wanted to put the radio station in that Martello Tower on Dymchurch Beach. And it's derelict. It's been derelict for donkey's years. And I contacted the council and I went, can I buy that? Marcello Tower, and they went, no, we sold one and they turned it into a house. Yeah, and well, we don't want any more of that. Well, okay, well, I'm not turning it into a house. I want to put a radio station there. It's a community radio station. Nope, you can't buy it. So it's been derelict all the time. They've now put it up for sale as a house.
Yeah, a holiday home, it says.
Yeah. But
even worse,
they haven't told you the drawback to that.
Yeah,
there is no grounds with it, and it's stuck in, and the Martello Tower is in the middle of a public car park.
Oh. Well, you'd have to buy the whole car park.
No, the car park's not for sale because it's a council car park.
Oh.
So basically, your house is in the middle of a council car park. So if you go home at night, you've got to pay your £12 to park your car at home.
And is it
or a little man with a badge comes around and sticks a sticker on your window.
Is it on a cliff edge as well?
No, it's on the beach.
Oh, actually on the beach.
It's in the beach car park at Dymchurch, opposite Tesco's, yeah.
And I guess
it's Martello Tower number 24, I think, or 25.
It's 27 Martello Tower.
27,
along
right.
The erected along the Kent. I like to say that word.
There's 27 erected, but what number is it? It's 24, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's tower number 24.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I just read it. Were you not listening? Yeah, 25.
Yeah, the front door is 18 feet in the air, and there's no steps. It needs a bit of thought, that.
Yeah, yeah. And can you imagine the planning for that?
Yeah.
Like, if you wanted to do anything.
They're going to fog it to you and then go, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to have a cannon on the roof. It's, in case the French invade again.
There are concerned residents near Dymchurch, and they could soon become a ghost town, they think.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Every traditional pub in the area is now up for sale. The City of London, the Ocean Inn, and the Ship Inn in Dymchurch have all been put on the market, sparking speculation over the future of the site. It leaves just one micro pub in the village, which is the Hidden Treasure, as well as members-only Royal British Legion. The City of London closed its doors earlier this year as the freehold was listed on the market for £295,000. Since then, the leasehold for the Ship Inn and the Ocean Inn have also been listed for £125,000 and £250,000. Respectively, they're only leaseholds.
They're only lease, and you don't know how long's left on the lease.
Exactly, I hate
because the Ship is a lovely pub. The Ship at Dymchurch.
Isn't it sad that we're losing these local pubs? I'm not a fan of Shepherd Neame. I love an independent.
Yeah, but there's fewer and fewer independents because they can't survive. They can't pay the costs. You know, the thing that's killing everybody now is energy costs, isn't it? I mean, you talk to pub landlords. I was talking to a pub
landlord. Energy and hospitality. You know, staff, the same thing.
Yeah.
There
are ways around the staffing issue. Well, some ways around the staffing issue. But the big problem is when your energy bills. I was talking to a guy that owned just one-off independent pub, and he was paying £40,000 a year for his energy bills a couple of years ago, and they're now talking about £180,000 for his energy bills. I mean, it's bonkers.
Well, it's
absolutely bonkers.
What they're doing to us, and my hairdresser the same. I've got a hairdresser in Barnes, all organic, natural, 99% colour herb, it's called.
In Barnes?
I've used it for years.
She does Barnets, does she?
I go to Barnes, yeah. It's a he. Theodore, I travel to see him when I see my homeopath. But his electric.
What happened to Mariano then?
Mariano sold his salon in Whitstable. He's now doing She Wolf. He's on Instagram.
He's doing what?
She Wolf. He's on Instagram. He does oils, lovely oils for the
hair. Right, okay. He's not doing hair at all.
He sold his lovely place, which was Flo & Co. in Whitstable. So I now go to Theodore. To Supernatural Hair and Beauty in Barnes.
Mm.
And he said his electric bill had gone up. I think he said it was £1,500 a month. we've gone up to. Just hair dryers, you know.
That's nothing.
Yeah, but that's not heating. That's just hair dryers.
Yeah.
It is, businesses can't. And I went out the other day, and we had a portion of fish, and the fish was tiny because the price of fish has gone up.
Mm.
So we were actually hungry afterwards, you know, because if you're at home, you can add a bit more. But I don't know what's going to happen. It worries me, hospitality, desperately, because I think we're just going to be left with loads of chains.
Yeah.
Jane,
talking about my car parking experience, Sarah Marsh Collins has said, Ringo, same thing happened to Zenat in Orpington High Street. Two different location numbers for the same car park on Ringo. They waived her fine because she paid for the wrong car park. They've got to sort this out. Yeah. The council's just being bone-idle, aren't they?
Well, they're not my favourite. I was asking Jane what she thinks about the hospitality, the future of staffing.
Oh, we need to be creative. Mm. We need to pool resources, and I think making it more attractive and trying to keep staff. You know, the seasonal staff we don't have anymore.
Yeah,
that's the problem. And
but also the working hours are traditionally long. So could you do job shares? And
No one really wants to work till midnight anymore. They've had lockdown and everyone's habits have changed.
Mm.
A lot of chefs have gone on to do other things.
Yeah,
that we're not seeing the people coming on to train as chefs. It's a big problem. I don't know, the best heads in the industry are trying to work it out. Don't ask me.
One of the things, the problem with the whole recruitment market, which is a market I know very well, there's 1.2 million unfilled jobs in the UK. There's 5.6 million people not working between the ages of 16 and 64 that just chosen not to work. And it's becoming incredibly difficult to source anything. Hospitality is particularly difficult because of the unsocial hours. What a lot of hospitality places have started to do is pay a huge amount more money, but for people that are prepared to be flexible and to work more hours, yeah? So they'll pay you £20 an hour as long as you guarantee you'll work Saturday and Sunday evenings or whatever, yeah? But then, of course, if someone goes off sick, you're snookered because you've got no replacement, and you're working with staffing to the bone, and that leads to a poor customer experience, which then impacts on what you're doing. There's no real way out of it, you know. I mean, the government say, well, basically import cheap labour, but when that cheap labour gets here, they've got to live here too, and it's not cheap to live here. That's the problem.
Well, this is why a lot of the chains can manage, because they've got the money to provide some accommodation. But the independents can't do that.
But what people don't understand is that everybody demands that you pay more and you pay more and you pay more. I saw a coffee shop say the other day they have decided to pay all of their staff at a living wage, and then in very small print at the bottom it says, which means we have to double the price of our coffee. it's self-defeating. The reason that we have a problem isn't because people are underpaid, it's because the cost of living costs too much, if you see what I mean. So it's a reverse issue. If people, you know, someone on £10 an hour is actually in the top 10% of the wealthiest people in the world compared to other countries.
Yeah.
But the cost of living here is such that you're absolutely poor on £10 an hour. You can't afford to live.
Yeah, exactly. I know myself and my new husband, we've really stopped going out as much as we did, and we cook well at home, but like to go out. But, you know, I can buy an organic wine for $6.99.
Mm.
If I go to a restaurant and want to drink organic wine, it's going to be...
£106. I've had a tweet from Nurse Liz. Nurse Liz, she says, hello everyone on the Bunker Show from Pennsylvania.
Hello
Liz. Amazing. Hope you're well.
Yeah, I wonder what the weather's doing there.
Yeah, what time of year are you? Spring. It should be, you know. It should be almost, what, -10?
She's got some woolens.
You got a woolly unders on.
The Tunbridge Wells have got a networking event. It's April the 20th, 10:30 to 12 noon. It's the third Thursday's networking, they say, in Tunbridge Wells. It's hosted by the Old Auction House and sponsored by Wellham Jones Funeral and Memorials. I bet they're busy at the moment. On April the 20th, prices are free to chamber members, and guests can join the meeting for £15. go to sevenoakschamber.com event April, Tunbridge Wells, and all details will be on Kent Business Radio after the show.
They are indeed. I'll just
Westroom have got a networking lift, eat, move, April the 12th, 10:30 to noon. We hope you can join us. So there, it's going to be focused on businesses, and it's going to be held at the Lift, Eat, Move. Livy Chapel and Jimmy Sykes are the owners of this unique training community on the Squerries Estate. Will share their story. So Squerries, of course.
The I've got a picture of you halfway over a five-bar gate. She got locked into Squerries, and she's got a glass of champagne in each hand, and she's not going to put it down, and she's trying to climb a five-bar gate, and she's got her legs caught in the gate. It's hilarious.
I've still got the glasses.
I've still got the photo.
In fact, Henry saw me toasting those glasses and said, that's where my glasses went.
Yeah. Last thing before we finish for this week's show, Carrara Food and Bombay Cooks, our great mate Paul Babra, is hosting a Happy Vaisakhi. I have no idea how to say this. It's the Sikh New Year event on April the 14th, 6:45 until 10:15 at the Westgate Hall, Canterbury. Go along. His food is absolutely to die for. It's wonderful. It's all home cooked. It's all fresh. It's all turmeric. And Paul will tell you turmeric cures everything.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I moan about things, and he rings me. He goes, take turmeric, mate. That's all you need. It'll fix you. Yeah,
with a little bit of black pepper.
Yeah. If you want to find out about Paul's event, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Turmeric root is good.
For what?
Everything.
Everything. Cures everything. Yeah.
You have to be careful. You can't have too much. Otherwise, you might go yellow. It does stain your worktops, doesn't it?
Oh. Does it?
Yeah, I've got white worktops. It really stains. You have to be very careful. When the new husband, you know, he's like the Swedish chef. Woody, smashes it everywhere.
Hey, listen. We've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge thank you to our two fantastic guests, Alison Bartolo, Jane Brooke, my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the annoying Jill Serkin.
And my temple pain's gone with a little bit of frankincense.
All right.
Wait till I tell my neurologist. I'm seeing him on Thursday.
Yeah.
If only I could say neurologist.
So you feel born again, do you, with a bit of frankincense? Anyway, we've reached the end of the show, and we're coming to the end. And thank you, everybody that tweeted, emailed, and joined in with the show. We'll be back with another one next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.